Greetings, friends, and welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, and the website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. Today is Wednesday, March 29th, 2017. And today we are going to be going through chapter 12 in our study in the book of Revelation, dealing with the Revelation 12 sign. And I know that there's a lot of excitement about this. There's some new thoughts out there. And so real quick, I wanted to share where I land on those thoughts. And the truth is I'm not as sold on it as some people are. I'm not putting a lot of confidence in this. This discovery. Real quick, let me just explain what that is. If you go to Revelation 12, which we're getting ready to read, the very first verse is this. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, a lot of people say that this sign is going to be happening on September 23rd this year, 2017, Yom Terah, Rosh Hashanah, you know, the Feast of Trumpets, that area. You know, I'm always on high alert when the fall feasts roll around. I believe that they're significant and there's things that could be fulfilled on those days, those appointed times. So I'm always on high alert anyway, and yes, I'll be watching closely the sign of Revelation this September 23rd. But I have to admit that I'm approaching this with great caution, because I feel it could be a very huge letdown for many, and I'm not convinced that the constellations are what this is talking about. However, I think it's worth paying attention to. If you guys don't understand, you can research this on YouTube, but basically there's a guy named Scotty Clark that kind of spearheaded this thing. On September 23rd, in the sky, there'll be Virgo, which is the woman. She'll have the sun at her, you know, right around her head area. She'll have the moon at her feet. Jupiter, which is known as the king planet, will be going through the area and is traveling through that area now, kind of like a, I guess you would call it a gestation period. And then it'll come out as a kind of like giving birth. And at her head is Leo, which is made up of Mercury, Mars, Venus, and nine other stars. So when people read this, and I, apparently this is the first time this has ever happened in this conjunction, so it does seem very appealing. There is some merit to it. So when we read, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon at her feet, and upon her head 12 stars. So I have to admit that it's very interesting, worth paying attention to, and I'm going to be paying attention to it. But at the same time, I just have to be honest and say I'm not putting a huge amount of stock in this. But I do find it interesting, compelling, and I'm certainly going to be paying attention to it. So I wanted to get that out in the open and let you guys know where I fall on that, because I know that that's going to be a question, maybe even the first question that people are going to be asking in dealing with this chapter. So let's go ahead and start working through chapter 12. It's a short chapter, but we're going to be citing quite a few Old Testament passages to give us greater understanding of what's going on here. All right, so chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Now, one of the questions that comes up is, okay, who is the woman, and who is the child, and all of that. And this is very, very important, because there's some theology being made out of this, which we'll get to here in a minute. I think we can get the answer by going to Isaiah 66. So let me pull that up here on the eSword, and let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 66, verse 7. Before she travailed, remember I just said, and she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, in pain to be delivered. So Isaiah 66, 7 says, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her child. So who is the one giving birth? Israel, Zion, Jerusalem. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith the Lord? Thy God, rejoice ye with Jerusalem, be glad with her, all ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. Okay, so the point being made here is, who's giving birth, right? And I think it's very clear who the woman is that we're talking about here. It's the nation Israel. All right, moving on with Revelation 12, verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Okay. Let's stop here for a minute. So we have another sign in heaven. A great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to deliver, to devour her child as soon as it was born. Okay, now we know that this is talking about Satan. It also looks like it's symbolizing the beast's government system that's going to be coming into play soon. As we read further, it's going to go on and confirm for a fact that the dragon is Satan. That's who it's talking about. It grabbed a third of the stars. That's where we get the idea that a third of the angels are going to be cast down to the earth with Satan. The question, the big question, is who is the child? Now, I personally believe it's talking about Christ. Jerusalem, or not Jerusalem, but Israel, is the woman. She gives birth to, here, let me get this pulled back up. She gives birth to the man-child. And you say, well, why do I think it's talking about Christ? Well, because it goes on to say, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now, who's going to rule with a rod of iron? The Messiah, the Mashiach, is going to rule with a rod of iron. And this same verbiage is used throughout all the Bible. Even remember in Revelation chapter 2, when Jesus is specifically talking, This is Jesus' words. He's talking to John, and he says, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." Now here's the thing. Here's why some people think, and I think it's a possibility, that the child is the church. So, or it could be a combination of talking about both, but this is an event that we're looking forward to in the future, which is why it could mean also the church itself. And Jesus says here, "And to he that keepeth my works unto the end, to him I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron." So in this area, Jesus is talking about, you know, the people who overcometh and keepeth his works to the end are the ones that will be given power and to get to rule the nations with a rod of iron. But then we have Revelation 19, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword," this is talking about Jesus, "that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron." Psalm 2, talking about Christ, talking about the Messiah. Verse 9, "Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." So we have two possibilities here. You know, we have, this could be symbolism of, you know, Christ being born, and it also could be symbolism of the church being born, because we have Israel. Out of her comes this child who will be ruling the nations with a rod of iron. And here's what's interesting. This is why so many people are worked up about September 23rd. Because the sign is potentially in the heavens, as is declared by the scriptures. Again, I must confirm and reiterate that I'm not leaning on this either way. I'm looking at this and I'm interested. I'm just showing you why it could be interesting. If the child that's brought forth to rule the nations with the rod of iron, if that's referring to the church, and it goes on to say, "And her," this is verse 5, "she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne." What's interesting about that is the word "caught up" there, if you go to Revelation 12, is the word harpazo, which is the same word that Paul uses when he talks about us being caught up to meet Jesus in the clouds, where we get our rapture doctrine from. Harpazo literally means, according to Strong's Concordance, to seize, to catch away, to pluck, to pull, and to take by force. So, the hype is this. We have the Revelation 12 sign taking place September 23rd, potentially. This could potentially be it. It says that, and this passage goes on to talk about the child being caught up to his throne. But I don't necessarily think that that means that on that day you're going to see the sign and that this is that's going to happen like that on that day. But I do find it very, very interesting. I do think it's possible that the man-child is a symbolism of Christ and a symbolism of the church, because both are talked about in the Bible, ruling with a rod of iron. And the caught up part is very, very interesting. Obviously, Jesus ascended to the throne. He wasn't caught up. He wasn't snatched away by force. He ascended while the disciples watched, right? Let's move on. Verse 6, "And a woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out onto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." I want to stop right there for a second. You know, most people think that Satan's already fell in the aspect that he's been kicked out of heaven. He doesn't have access to God anymore. But I don't think that's true. I think until this event takes place right here in Revelation, that he still does have access to God. And the reason I believe that is because of the book of Job. It says right here, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren," talking about Satan, "has been cast down, which accused them before God day and night." It says that Satan has been accusing us day and night. Look at what so-and-so did. Look what Sean did. He's not really a godly man. Look what Sean's thinking. Look at Sean's actions, right? Let's go to the book of Job real quick here. And this just kind of confirms that Satan, up until this point, until this takes place, does still have access to God. If you go to Job, you can go to the very first chapter. Go on to verse 6. "Now there was a day when the sons of God," by the way, that's the B'nai Elohim, which is the same sons of God that is used in Genesis chapter 6 when it says the sons of God came down and took wives. It's talking about angels. This is a confirmation of that. I just wanted to throw that little nugget out there too. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." Okay, this is showing that Satan can still come and go back and forth from the earth, and he can appear to God, right? He can come before the Lord. Verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered in the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught?" See, right here, Satan's starting to talk about Job, and just like what Revelation is talking about, right? He's accusing Job. He's saying, does God fear you for no reason? I mean, he's saying, does Job fear you for no reason, God? He goes on in verse 10 to say, "Hast thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." See, Satan is the accuser. He's saying, look, Job doesn't love you because he loves you. He loves you because you've built a hedge of protection about him, and you've blessed his hands and given him all this stuff. He's saying, if you were to, you know, bring some trouble in his life, he'd curse you to your face. This is the devil. This is what Satan does, right? And up until this event takes place, he's still doing that today, accusing us before God. The good news is we have Jesus Christ on our behalf. Let's go on to verse 10, Revelation 12. "And I heard a loud voice saying," I'm sorry, I just read that part. Verse 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he know that he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." Remember, the woman is Israel. Verse 14. "And the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nursed for a time and times and half a time, to face the serpent." Now, before we finish and read the last three verses, I have to address this. So Satan has started to persecute the woman, which we know to be Israel. It says the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she's going to be nourished for a time, times and half a time, from the face of the serpent. Two things I want to address. The times, times and half a time is sometimes translated as like 3.5 years. I don't believe that that's what that's saying. I believe the King James Bible has it right when it says times, times and half a time. And every time you see this used, It's always talking about a period of time. It's never talking about like a certain amount of days. If you go to Matthew, by the way, there's 83 occurrences of this, and they're all in the same way. I'm just going to read one occurrence. Matthew 8:29 says, "And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" It's talking about an appointed time. You know, that particular scripture is dealing with when Christ cast out the legion of demons out of that guy. And they said, "Have you come to torment us before our time?" It doesn't necessarily mean a year or years or anything like that. It's just an appointed time. So I don't necessarily buy into that it's talking about 3.5 years. I think it's appointed times, and we don't know the exact length of that. "And the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent." The reason that it could be talking about a specific time period is because if we go back up to verse 6, "The woman fled into the wilderness where she hath place prepared of her of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So I guess that argument can be made, but I just wanted to point out that the word for times, times, and half a time is just an appointed time. But obviously in verse 6, it gives us a specific amount of days, which we can't ignore. The other thing I want to address is the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. There's some pastors out there that try to say this is where America comes and rescues, you know, America comes and becomes an end time savior for Israel. We're the great eagle. I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't subscribe to that at all. I don't believe that at all. This is symbolism that God uses to describe a covering, a wisping away into the wilderness to care for his people. We see this exact same language used in Exodus when talking about the Hebrews coming out of Egypt. If you go to Exodus chapter 19, let's just do that real quick. Exodus chapter 19. Let's just deal with verses 1 through 4. "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself." You see, when you know the Old Testament, it's easy, much easier to understand what's taking place in the book of Revelation. It's symbolism. God used it himself back in Exodus, saying, I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you into the wilderness, brought you unto myself. That's what it's talking about. God's going to supernaturally bring them into a place of safety while this persecution is taking place. Let's finish this chapter. Verse 15. "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and had the testimony of Jesus Christ." Now your final question might be, well, what's this water? What's this flood? Again, that's answered for us in the book of Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah real quick, and then we'll be done. Chapter 59, verse 19, talking about... let me make sure I have the right one. Yes. "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The spirit of the Lord shall be lifted up, standard against him." See, Isaiah is describing the enemy as a flood, like a flood of people, like an army of people. That's what it's dealing with here. So the devil is going to be sending forth a flood of enemies. Think of it like armies. something along those lines is what this is referring to when it says he opened his mouth and there came a flood. But then it says the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Now, I don't know exactly what that is, except that it's going to be very, very interesting. And it may be, you know, something like a big giant sinkhole opens up and swallows whatever this army is that's coming, like a flood to Israel. Maybe it's referring to Ezekiel 38 and that whole fiasco there. It's really, really hard to say. But of course, the dragon was wroth that she was carried away, and he went to make war with the remnant of her seed. So anybody left who keeps the commandments of God, who hold the testimony of Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is Revelation chapter 12. And I know that we were all over the place with this episode, but we kind of had to be. And I just kind of wanted to make some things very, very clear. And I hope that I did a good job with that. At any rate, I am out of time, so I'm going to wrap this up. I'll be back with you again, hopefully at the end of the week, with our prophecy podcast. I pray that this blessed you. If it did, please let me know in the comments below. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial support. Peace and grace be with all of you. Until next time, God bless.